that's just done. His love endures forever, for the life that's been reborn. His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone. God is faithful, forever
God is true. Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone. We're here today at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today, my friends, we have a great guest who is a wingman. He's a graduate of the WINGS program and has had great success in reentry and also in recovery. His name is Jeff Collins. He's been here before. And Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Montone.
Well, I want to thank you again for taking the time out of your busy day to join us and bring us up to date, because today, my friends, we celebrate 8 years of success in recovery, and that's a beautiful thing. So, Jeff, if you can, bring us up to date, and for our listening audience, if you could take us back also to how we met in the WINGS program and some of the successes that you have experienced during the past 8 years.
Okay, well, for one, I need to thank God for how far he has brought me every day, man. I'm just so grateful and overwhelmed with God's grace and mercy in my life. I'm not a rich man and all that kind of stuff, but you know, I'm happy where I am in life, and I never thought that I would be where I am. You know, I met you in the prison program, you taught me how to prioritize my life, and you know, because before prison, let me go back a little bit. Before prison, I just kept on falling. I kept on going back to drugs. I was locked up many times before I even met you, Mr. Montone. And, you know, I used the prison. I used to be happy going to jail. You know, I had another friend, me and him would be in the back of the paddy wagon, and we would be happy because that was our chance to finally stop using drugs. You know, it was like it was impossible for us to stop without that. So that's how we felt anyway, because every time I got out, I would go right back to it. So this time, when I got locked up, I met you. I inquired about a program so that I could kind of get grounded in my recovery before I hit the streets again, and then maybe I would have a chance, you know. And man, I couldn't ask for anything better. It was a spiritual program. It helped me stay plugged in with my higher power and helped me prioritize my life. So when I got out, the work was already done. I was already kind of delivered from drugs and alcohol, and it was a lot of work to stay that way because people still didn't believe in me yet. I got out. I went to my family's house. You know, they were upset to see me. They didn't even want me there. You know, I said, I just need to stay here for a couple of days, but they didn't want me there, man. And, you know, I think I stayed there maybe one night, and they put me out, and I was back out in the street again, but I stayed strong. I just kept on remembering everything that you guys were teaching when I was in the prison program. So at that point in my life, I had been through the ringer anyway, you know. And I had lost all contact with my family for 10 years at one time. All contact with my friends. I remember sitting on that park bench, you know, nowhere to go, nothing to eat, same clothes on for weeks at a time, you know, no job, you know, and every now and then I remember doing criminal activity, you know, just trying to make it, like stealing out the store or something like that. So, and I would always wind up in jail, you know. So today we celebrate, well, April 4th, 2014 was my clean day. That was the day I got clean 8 years ago. And, I remember some time ago throwing away 7 years clean, man. Like, I would get cleaned and fall and get clean and then fall. So this is a really big, big deal for me, man. And, you know, because I never thought that I could get past that hump, you know, past that point of no return.
Right.
And, I mean,
Jeff, if I can, let me interject for a second. Now, how old are you?
I'm 58.
58 years old. Now, we met in the House of Corrections inside the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, and, you were passing down the hallway and had stuck your head in and, asked about the program, specifically, you know, what is this program about? And I invited you to come in. You were open to it. You sat down. You came every day, and you continued to, take advantage of that opportunity. And then, I just want to fill in a little bit of the gaps here, because when you left the HOC, I know that you had some work to do, and I attended your graduation at Gaudenzio, one of the drug and alcohol rehab places. And you remember that?
Yeah. Well, thanks for refreshing my memory a little bit, but I can't forget. I mean, the whole process, it was jail. And even after I got out of there, I needed some more work, to stay grounded. So I plugged in with every positive source that I could think of. Church was one. I joined the church. I joined the inpatient program. I did that for maybe about three or four months. Then I went out. Then I was doing the outpatient thing. And at the same time, I was going to Wings, coming to the Wings program once a week over on the outside of prison.
That's right, at Drexel University. And concurrently, Jeff, when did you start that GED program? Do you recall?
Oh, yeah. So, and that was all part of the program when I was in prison. You know, you guys kind of, helped me prioritize everything. And, I had to really do some soul searching, man. Like, at my age, I think I was 50 years old, and I got scared, man. I started getting scared for my life, I had to think of a way that I could put things together as far as getting some career opportunities and not just any jobs, I had to do what I had to do. In the beginning, I think I started working as a janitor in the charter school system. And while I was in there, while I was doing that, I started taking classes for my high school diploma, because I never had graduated high school. I had dropped out in like the 10th grade. I went back. It took me about a year for my brain to even really start taking stuff in and remembering it again, but 14 months total, I had my high school equivalency diploma. I graduated from a class in Temple University for my high school diploma, and that was like a huge accomplishment for me, because I never liked school when I was a young guy. But once I started learning stuff and taking stuff in, man, I actually liked learning, man. I always went above and beyond on my homework and stuff like that, because, I wanted to know the answers to stuff that I should have knew a long time ago. And so I think it was September 2016 I graduated down, I think it's South Philly at this, one of the centers down there. We had a big graduation, cap and gown. It was very nice. And then after I finished that, I had to think realistically. I was taking college bridge classes because I was top of my class, actually. But I had to think at my age, did I want to go to college for 5 years? I mean, you know, I had to work and make money to survive. So I went to Allstate, man. I went to Allstate for 7 months, and I got my Class A CDL. I'm fully endorsed with my hazmat tanker and everything, and landed a pretty good job. I seen all 48 states, went across country for about 4 years, and now I'm local. I came off of that, I think, you know, when the pandemic really started hitting, I came off of that because it was kind of scary when that hit, you know, being in the truck by myself, isolating and stuff,
Let me interject for a second again. Let me just say congratulations on the successes that you've had in the WINGS program, Gaudenzia, the GED program, the Allstate CDL license, and now you've been driving for more than 4 years. And, you've achieved what most people have not done after, years of dealing with the challenge of drug and alcohol rehab. And so, Jeff, there's close to an 83% failure rate, and you have succeeded where others have not. And we've had many in the WINGS program who've overdosed as well. So, you're really a success story. What is your secret, do you think, to success in recovery?
Well, I had made many, many mistakes. This is after going in and out of programs for probably 10 or more years. I was doing that for a long time. It just was a matter of me wanting to do it, statistically, when I was in the rehabilitation center, they said out of 20 guys, I think they said only, it was 18 guys. They said only two of you guys are going to make it. And it was me and my best friend, one of my best friends that I had met in there. And it was me and him for a while. And then after about 3 years, he fell off. So it left just me. So I was the only guy out of 18 guys that is still clean today. And it was just, I just wanted something better for myself, man. I've done so much in the streets and done so, lived so foul and so much wrong, so many wrong things happened in my life. And I just didn't want to die and that be my legacy. I wanted to make a better person.
Right.
And live a better life,
Yeah.
I didn't want my family to say, oh, man, I knew he was going to die like that or... I just want it better for myself. If anybody's struggling with addiction, you just have to want it. You can't do it for, I couldn't do it for any other reason but me wanting to do it, I can't do it for my kids. I can't do it for my mom. I couldn't do it for any reason, man. I tried to do it for so many different reasons, but until I really wanted to do it for myself, that was the key. When I wanted better for myself, I stayed clean and I changed.
Yep.
And it wasn't easy because, you think about after you get clean for a couple years, all the damage that was done in your past, I was struggling with, like I said, before I even went to school and all that stuff, I was struggling with stuff needing to be put in place, and I always would go back to using because I looked at how my life was. I was living in a room, couldn't find employment and stuff like that. you know, it felt easier to get high, you know, to kind of relieve myself of those burdens for a little while.
Right.
But then when that's gone, it's still back to reality. So after doing that for so many time and time again, I realized that I couldn't go back, man.
Yep.
You know, the only way to get through it was to go forward and to push through the pain. And I shed a lot of tears and I endured a lot of pain to get where I'm at.
Yep.
And by God's grace, I'm here. And I'm grateful. And I'm
nowhere
near where I really want to be in life. I still have things that I want to, I kind of want to do. But, you know, it's in God's time, not mine. As long as I stay in position and keep doing the right thing, then who knows what blessings God has for me.
Exactly. Let me jump in once again, Jeff. And for a listening audience, Jeff and I were together with the Falls Township Police Department at four or five high schools here in Bucks County. And Jeff really made an impact on each and every class we went to and told his story and helped to really change the minds of some of our young people who were contemplating dropping out of high school in 10th grade. And, you know, we had real evidence of his impact because one of the teachers at Pensbury High School in Lower Bucks County called me only 2 days after Jeff had been in the class with me and Officer John Yeager, and basically she made a decision not to drop out based on her conversation with Jeff and also on his talk that he had given to the entire class. So, Jeff, you know, part of your legacy is that, you know, you have done a lot of interesting things to help the WINGS program. You've been here at Holy Spirit Radio several times for sure, and also in more than five high schools here in Lower Bucks County. So you never know how God is going to bless you in the future. He's going to use you and continue to help you to touch some of the young people to avoid some of the things that maybe you and I have done to, you know, to help them to live a good life. And so one of the things I want to bring out right now is that you're 58 years old, and where do you see yourself, you know, in the next 5 years? What is your vision today for your life?
I'm kind of content with track. You know, I'm a tractor trailer driver now, and I'm kind of content with that. It's like really the most money that I've ever made on a job. And I the jobs today, they don't even have, you know, pension plans. But mostly, it's hard to find a job with a pension, man, you know. And you kind of just, I don't know, I think I see people on my job 80 years old still working.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And you know, so, you know, I'm kind of content with where I'm at, because I know that they aren't going to get rid of me when I get of age, you know.
Right.
But I still have an opportunity to work and make money. I don't want to have to work at that age, but being as though I wasted so much time, I probably do. My goals now have, I try to set short-term goals. One of them is maybe owning a home. You know, which, you know, and really that's kind of up and down because, like, you know, at my age, you don't lock into a 30-year mortgage, you know what I mean? And I'm kind of up in age, but I don't know. I just want a better home life, I guess. I live in a condo, believe me. I have a nice place, but I would like to own a home. That's one of my goals. On a home, God has blessed me to, you know, just the basic things out of life that, you know, most people probably had for years.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me ask you the question. Where are you spiritually today yourself? But also, I know that you had a significant woman in your life. Where are you today in that relationship?
Well, I'm engaged. I've been engaged now for a little over a year. We're really planning on, we're trying to plan a wedding. We have everything kind of together. You know, it's just little small stuff that still has to be put in place. Like, she has her gown, I have my clothes. You know, we have our licenses already. Finding a place to do it at and stuff like that. It's just, as a matter of fact, we're right there. We're right ready to take the walk, you know. But
and that's wonderful, Jeff. That really is. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the successes that you are moving forward to, which is getting married. Part of God's calling, you know, for a man to leave his mother and father and to join his wife and to be fruitful and multiply. But to be married to one person and to enjoy the blessings of marriage, which is the calling for, you know, for man. And, you know, God says, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And can you speak a little bit about, my friend, growing up in Philadelphia, what was it like for you in terms of your past growing up in the early days, childhood?
The early days, well, you know, that kind of has a lot to do with, you know, the way things turned out for me. But, and also it was just me making bad decisions for myself. I came from a middle-class family, you know, pretty much had everything that I wanted, like on Christmas time, everything I asked for was there under the tree, and, you know, I had a hard-working dad and stuff like that. You know, it was kind of a slight dysfunction in my family. You know, my mom was kind of sick, you know, she had a mentally ill, schizophrenic. She was diagnosed with schizophrenic paranoia at an early age. I was kind of like a kid. I didn't know, I really didn't understand what was going on. And then to top that off, I had my father was abusive at that time, you know. And, you know, when I think about that, it's a blessing today because he's not like that anymore, you know. That being in that kind of environment as a child pushed me to the streets, you know. I kind of like clung to the older guys in the neighborhood, and, you know, they just were teaching me that's where my addiction started, teaching me how to use drugs and do everything that came with the streets, you know.
And Jeff, what was your drug of choice?
Well, I did a lot of, my drug of choice was, I started off doing marijuana in the early days, and then I guess I kind of got bored with that high, and I started taking pills and drinking, and at the end of it all, I was doing heroin and crack cocaine. And, you know, I never thought in a million years that I would be on heavy drugs like that. I remember when that stuff first came to Philadelphia, my mother told me, it was on the news. My mother said, "You see that, Jeff?" She was trying to warn me. And I said, "Mom, there's nothing in this world that's going to be so powerful to take control of my life." And, man, I was wrong, you know. And, you know, so when I think about all that stuff, man, like I said, I can't help from be grateful, because I remember being in that. At some point, I would have everything, like all those drugs in my system at the same time, man. I almost killed myself so many times. I almost OD'd. You know, it was only by God's grace that I'm still here. You know, I was rushed to the hospital a few times, and then most of the time I just like kind of had friends around me that brought me back to life. But yeah, it was scary, man. I'm a miracle to be still here talking to you today.
Yeah, no doubt. And you've reflected on your faith by sharing with us the phraseology "by the grace of God." And what can you tell us, my friend, about the importance of your faith and how it's connected to your success in recovery?
Well, let me say that I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed a lot of days to even tell someone I used to do this or I used to do that. You know, my mother got me in, to answer your question, my mother got me into the church early in my early days, and when I was a kid. And, you know, I became a acolyte, an altar boy. You know, I would do things for the church and keep the grounds clean, and I helped marry people and do baptisms and stuff like that. And I stood side by side with the pastor. I was, you know, so I was kind of raised in the church. And so when I took that wrong turn, when I took that left turn, and I never came back, you know, and but I never lost my faith at the same time. Because I remember being out there, being in dangerous situations, or sometimes I had to be in those situations before I could acknowledge God again, but I never forgot. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I was shot at before, got beat down before, and those are the times that I would be calling on God's name, and He always seen me through. You know, He always was there, and
yeah,
and that's how I made it through, man. By the grace of God, by me having faith, and I would pray. You know,
yep.
Even though I was living a foul life, I still prayed, and I remember some of my prayers. God, if you just get me out of this one, God. If you could just take that stuff away from me. I remember praying and asking God, whatever it takes, please instill in me whatever I need not to use drugs again. I remember praying that prayer, and I prayed that prayer for years. And guess what? Finally answered prayer.
He answered it. And Jeff, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're almost out of time, but what a great moment to end the show on. And, you know, God answered your prayer. It took a while, but he is so good all the time. But he teaches us the lessons along the journey. And we're going to have you back on the show again another time. But I want to thank you for joining us today. And I want to wish you and your fiancé a very happy Easter. And God bless you in the future. And we just thank you to our listening audience for joining us today. Listening to Jeff Collins, a wingman, a graduate, and a success story, both in reentry and recovery. That's our show for today. Jeff, have a great day, and God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio in Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless.